But we begin this evening with the Tolton Games. 100 years ago, in the summer of 1924, Ireland hosted this extraordinary sporting and cultural event, a gathering of athletes and artists from across the world. The event saw more than 5,000 competitors engage in an array of sporting and artistic endeavours. In terms of scale, it was bigger than that year's Paris Olympic Games, earning much acclaim in the international media. Indeed, the Tolton Games of 1924 were so successful that they were repeated in 1928 and 1932. To learn more about the Games, their rise and their eventual demise, Ian Kennelly went to Dublin's Collins Barracks, where he met with Dr. Siobhan Doyle, historian, author and curatorial researcher at the National Museum of Ireland.
So it's 1924, Ireland is just out of civil war, there's thousands of deaths, there's a loss of infrastructure, and we have the establishment of the new Irish Free State. Not a republic yet, but still the Irish Free State wanted to show how they can stand on their own feet on an international stage, and to show that it's not only a newly founded free state, but it also has an ancient image, that it has its own customs, its traditions, and that's why they decided to revert back to the ancient origins of the Tolton Games.
The revival of the Tolton Games was, its organisers hoped, a signal to the international community of nations that the new free state had an ancient and unique culture, one that had survived centuries of colonisation. Siobhan explained to me the long history of their ancient inspiration, the original Tolton Games.
The ancient Tolton Games actually predate the ancient Olympics in Greece. It's always great to have that boast over the Greeks. But they took place every year up until 1169 AD, so just before the Norman invasion. And they took place in the townland of Tolton in County Meath. And the whole idea was that they were a celebration of Queen Tolta. Lots of different events like stone lifting, dancing and other shows of strength. Obviously, the documentation of them is limited, but from what historians can gather from what we have, that they were a huge success.
Yet, given the context of the time, with the state struggling to recover from the Civil War, there was opposition to the idea of the Tolton Games, or to the idea of the Tolton Games being held at this particular time, as Siobhan explains.
It wasn't all plain sailing for the organisers of the Tolton Games. So in 1924, we have Sinn Féin having a massive opposition to the staging of the Tolton Games. Why? It's because they didn't want the Irish diaspora overseas to come over and see Ireland not as united, not as a 32-county state. So they wanted people to not participate in the Games, not support the Games, don't attend, and they produced a lot of pamphlets to distribute around Ireland, and in particular around Dublin City, where a lot of the events were taking place, that showed their opposition, and they encouraged other people to support them in their opposition to the Tolton Games.
That opposition failed. In fact, it failed spectacularly. The Games had wide public and media support and drew huge crowds amounting to hundreds of thousands of people. Those fans enjoyed a varied range of events.
At the time, the Olympics had art competitions. They had music competitions as well. So the Tolton Games did that too. What's interesting is that the sporting events were limited to athletes of amateur status only. But for art competitions, there was no such rule in force. So you had some of the most famous artists in Ireland at the time and still today competing in those competitions. So you have the likes of Harry Clark, Margaret Clark, Sean Keating, W.B. Yeats competing in the poetry competition. There were 32 categories in the art competition. So just even looking at the vast array of categories themselves gives us an idea into the massive scope of these games.
Apart from competing, many prominent artists offered their public support, especially John McCormack, who praised the inaugural Games. As Siobhan explains, the internationally renowned tenor subsequently retained a connection to the Tolton Games.
John McCormack was very supportive of the idea of the Tolton Games. He also donated a silver cup in 1928 for the solo singing competition. And when you see the trophy, it's in our collection in the National Museum of Ireland. It's on display and it's quite large. You know, it's not your standard silver trophy. It's a very elaborate design. An interesting facet is that the John McCormack Cup, its design has been reinvented again in the GA's Talton Cup. So the cup that's presented to the winners of the Tier 2 Senior Football Championship competition is based on the cup that John McCormack donated for the 1928 Talton Games.
My blue-eyed Macushla,
of course, apart from the artistic competitions, there were many sports events branching far beyond track and field.
An enormous amount of sports categories. There was yachting that took place in Dunleary. There was motor racing in the Phoenix Park that was attended by over 100,000 spectators. Categories like chess, there was airplane races, there was camogie, hurling. You know, there was almost something for everyone. Most of them took place around Dublin. Croke Park remained the focal point of the Talton Games. You had the opening ceremony there and most of the athletics taking place there. You also had a marathon, started in Navan and finished in Croke Park. Mallow hosted the horse racing competition, but most of it was confined to Dublin City.
While Croke Park was central to the Games, the state's limited finances meant that creative thinking was required to stage some of the major events, particularly the swimming competitions. As Siobhan explains, they were moved to Dublin Zoo.
Some of them took place in the hippopotamus pool because resources were limited. You need to make use of what you have. So that was certainly the case for the swimming competitions. There's some wonderful footage of the competitions, including those that took place in Dublin Zoo. British Pathé, their archive footage of some of the competitions taking place. So it's brilliant to have that as a resource.
However, amid this vast celebration of sporting competition, some sports were, as Siobhan explains, deemed unsuitable for inclusion.
The principle of the Talton Games were of international integration, yet there was a deliberate exclusion of cricket, of rugby and of soccer because they were considered to be games that were traditionally viewed as British pastimes, and the Irish Free State wanted to have a particular version or viewing of Irish identity through the Talton Games. So, and cricket, soccer and rugby just didn't fit that.
Fitting the general tenor and purpose of the Games, the organisers stipulated that competitors had to have an Irish heritage, but there were exceptions to that rule.
In order to take part in the Games, participants were supposed to be of Irish heritage or of Irish birth, and usually the entrants were from traditional areas of Irish emigration, so America, the UK and Australia. But there were some exceptions made to the rule that the participants were to be of Irish heritage and Irish birth. One of them was a man called Harold Osborne, who was a long jumper on Team USA. He had won an Olympic medal. He came over and competed and won. You have a man called Johnny Weismuller, who was a swimmer, and he went on to have international fame in Hollywood films playing the role of Tarzan.
The inclusion of such illustrious international competitors greatly added to the appeal of the Games. As Siobhan explains, their involvement was enabled by the decision to hold the Talton Games soon after the Olympic Games.
So in 1924, you have the Olympic Games in Paris, you have them in Amsterdam in 28, and in 1932, you have them in Los Angeles. It was fine for the first 2 years, the first two iterations in 1924 and 28, because Ireland was relatively close by to Paris and to Amsterdam, and some of the athletes dropped into the Talton Games while they were in the general European area. Unfortunately, that wasn't as convenient for Los Angeles.
By then, 1932, the Games were facing what proved to be insurmountable challenges. Siobhan describes the demise of the modern Talton Games.
From the start, it caused frictions between the organising committees and the government because it was an enormous expense. You know, you think about a place that's just coming out of civil war, that there's a lot of buildings and places and families destroyed. And then you see the Irish state supporting and financially investing in this massive mega event, which is a luxury. So there were frictions from the start. In 1932, the Olympic Games took place in Los Angeles. So a lot of the athletes that were competing in LA were on the long boat to LA that took days and days to get to and from there. So the international dimension that was present for the 1924 and the 28 Games was gone. You didn't have as much of the Irish diaspora coming over. You didn't have as many of the Olympic athletes competing. So it was essentially domestic athletes competing against each other. So that excitement was gone. The 1932 Tailteann Games also took place right after the Eucharistic Congress, which was another mega event. And I think by then the people of Dublin, the people of Ireland had had enough. They had mega event fatigue, and the initial excitement and buzz that came with the Tailteann Games was gone by 1932.
So ended the Tailteann Games, a remarkable feature of life in newly independent Ireland. One of the goals of their organisers was to provide the world and Irish people at home and abroad with a portrayal of a state that was proud of its ancient heritage and willing to step onto the international stage. Contemporary reports suggest that they achieved that goal, at least in 1924 and 1928, while also providing the Irish public with an ambitious, thrilling and often joyful spectacle.
That was Ian Kennedy reporting there. He was talking to Dr. Siobhan Doyle about the Tailteann Games, that immense sporting and cultural competition held in Ireland during the 1920s and 1930s.